This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're back, baby. Better than ever. Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky. On a thirsty Thursday here, downtown San Francisco, live from the Laughing Monk Studios. I say good morning to all of you just getting off work, getting ready for school. No rain. It was actually nice. I enjoyed a nice stroll this morning in the streets of San Francisco. Went to go grab a coffee with one Joe Shasky. I say good morning to you, Carter, Sam. We're back in action. Shout out Evan Giddings for holding it down for me yesterday. My allergies were insane, to say the least. I was just a mess and needed a good night's sleep. Got it. I'm back. I'm refreshed. I'm better than ever. Just like the Warriors who bounced back in a big way, Joe Shasky, I too am bouncing back in a big way today. We got a lot to get into. 49ers, by the way, according to John Lynch, general manager, they have a plan. And my plan today, after the show's over, is to sit on my couch and watch March Madness, because that starts today, officially. Not those play-in scenarios. Not the Mount St. Mary's of the world. No. Not the Alabama States. No. The round of 64 starts today. Where's my music? I got it somewhere here, Joe Shasky. Good morning to you. How you doing?
I mean, I'm doing great. Who's your...
There it is.
Louder. No.
Just make it louder.
Do you have an allegiance?
It's not surprising if you look at the hue of my skin, who I'm going to root for. It's Duke. I love Duke. I'm sorry. I love Duke. All right? JJ Redick was my boy. I love the Kyle Singlers of the world. I've always loved Duke University.
Gene Wozniacki?
My cousin Paul actually played soccer there collegiately once upon a time. Not that like made me have an affinity for them, but it was another excuse. Hey, my cousin played there. He actually tried out there. He was like, you know, they have walk-ons and stuff like that. My cousin Paul's like 6'10", big guy. You know, they have walk-on drafts. He didn't make the team, obviously. But I've always liked Duke. I have. Is that a crime?
No, no, it's not a crime.
Because I feel like it is for these days. I hate Christian Laettner, the whole 30 for 30. If you like Duke.
Bobby Hurley.
I love those guys.
Well, I mean, Shaq deserved to be on the Dream Team over Christian Laettner. But Christian Laettner was a huge star.
He was.
Huge star. Grant Hill. There's no doubt about it. But
no, whatever. You hate him?
I don't hate them. They remind me of SI here in the city.
Okay.
They're just too perfect. Like, you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? Like, to me, Duke and SI are very, very, very comparable.
Really?
I've got a niece that goes to SI. I've got a lot of friends that went to SI.
Okay.
You know, but there's a particular type of person that would go to Duke. And,
interesting.
You know,
I always thought that was like De La Salle because like they like dominated certain things. Like,
for the
East Bay, yeah. I think De La Salle when I think Duke, like just teams that dominate all the time. You just get tired of it.
Yeah.
But they dominated my whole life. Coach K and all those guys. Yeah.
There's a kid at De La Salle right now. I've heard nothing but great things about basketball player and who's also a baseball player, I believe going to Oklahoma. And one of my buddies was like, this kid literally reminds me of Bo Jackson. I was like, whoa!
Wow.
He doesn't just say that flippantly. Joey Taboni and his whole family brother, Paul, works for the Red Sox.
Yeah. Might be my cousin.
And he knows sports, and he was like, dude, I'm telling you, this kid is legit. So I'm going to be definitely tracking him. And so, yeah, it'll be a fun day today with the college basketball. I just don't really have, like, diehard college allegiances outside of Notre Dame.
Is there a Notre Dame this year? No? They didn't qualify?
So when I do the brackets this year, I went, you know, a little bit me, and then I was like going around the room. I was like, all right, Michelle, Michigan or, you know, whoever.
Right.
All right, Auburn or whoever. And then it was basically her, me, and LJ kind of determining my bracket. And guess who I have as the champion?
Duke.
After all that. Yeah, I got Duke.
There you go. That's just not St. John's, not Houston, not Clemson. Gonzaga, the Zags.
I can't go for the Vampire.
No? Patino? Yeah. Come on.
They should be the Minutemen, not the
Relax. I heard they're going to be running out the Gold Club. Who knows? Oh, I'm kidding. Shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We got a lot of good stuff today. And I did want to start here, and we could touch on March Madness throughout the show because it's a fun time. And just the tradition of watching all these games and having a bracket filled out, like, and you just mentioned it, LJ and Michelle know nothing about college basketball. Probably know as much as about you and I, because outside of Cooper Flagg and maybe a couple of other players, we're really not locked into college basketball like we used to be maybe like a decade plus ago. There's just whatever it is, whether it's the NBA, the feeder leagues, the Europeans getting drafted all in the top
transfer
10 now,
portal.
Like the transfer portal, like I don't like gravitate to players like I used to. Like the Draymond Greens of the world, who was playing at Michigan State, was playing there for years and years, right? Like, you don't see those players as often anymore coming to the league, or they're not celebrated as much when they are playing college sports. And maybe it's the style of play, Joe Shasky. That's just because when I watch these games, the amount of free baskets I see in the paint that just they refuse to take sometimes. And again, I always go to your coach. Like, as a coach, that must drive you nuts.
What drives me nuts?
The chucking of the 3-point ball and the brand of basketball that's played at the collegiate level, it just drives me insane.
About 15 years ago, this is where my line of demarcation was. When I watched the point guard bring the ball up the court and the entire team look over to the coach waiting for the play call and then just trying to drain the shot clock
like it's
down.
Oregon Duck football.
I'm like, what are we doing, dude? Can we just play back? They're like two different sports at times, the NBA and college basketball. And I would also argue that, you know, right now with the popularity of the college game for the women, they've probably got two of the bigger stars. Like, I know Cooper Flagg's a star, and I'm not here to say that he's not. He absolutely is.
Hopefully he's healthy.
Paige and Juju are as recognizable to me as a casual sports fan of that entire sport on both the men and women's side as even Cooper Flagg is.
And mentioning the women's side, shout out Cal women's basketball taking on Mississippi State, I believe, on Saturday. We'll be rooting for the Cal Bears, obviously, so can't wait for that. The only local team to make it in the tourney, men's or women's, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, but this will be interesting. And, like, you've got basically the SEC in every single corner of the bracket. And,
St. Mary's. You're right.
St. Mary's got screwed.
St. Mary's is always in there. Yeah, they look like they're on a collision course. Now, don't sleep on Vandy, by the way. Bama. Yeah, potentially. If they can get out of that matchup.
First round.
Right?
Know.
So, but to your point, and thank you, Sam Lubman, correct, because I always just shoe in, because, again, shoehorning something in there. I'm shoeing in, obviously, St. Mary's, and then Gonzaga winning the tourney.
If I say Omar Samhan, do you guys remember that name?
I think so.
Oh, great tourney run in 2010.
Look at you.
I wanted the Warriors to get him so bad
really?
Back when they didn't have a center, and I didn't think we could get better.
You guys didn't want Dellavedova?
I could not stand Dellavedova.
What?
I don't like the Australian pipeline that they have.
No?
So I think the first guy
Patty
was
Mills?
Kicker.
Patty Mills?
None of them. None of them.
No?
No.
Diamond Simpson? It's a real St. Mary's player, by
it
the way.
It is. I think Kickert was the
sounds
first
like an exotic dancer
of the many Australians. And then they just had this crazy pipeline. It's like, you can't recruit local? Come on.
Speaking of pipeline, and speaking of the draft, it's coming up here. The NFL draft, Joe Shasky, in about a month's time.
Super fired up.
We're going to be fired up for that. John Lynch was at Stanford's Pro Day yesterday. Matt Barros, The Athletic, did a good article talking to John Lynch and kind of picking his brain in regards to, you know, the future of this team. And the word plan was uttered by John Lynch. And I want to begin with that because this looks like a team, the 49ers. If you just pulled the fan base right now and you said, what's the plan for this team? I think you'd get 1,000 different answers. I think some people think they're blowing it up. I think another people think they're resetting the books. I think there's some people that say they don't have a plan. So it was interesting when I read this article, and I'm pulling it up right now because I want to get the exact verbiage of what John Lynch had to say. But just to make a long story short, you know, there's been a lot made about Ayuk, Debo, Trent Williams, and everything that's taken place basically from this time last year to now that's gotten to the team to this point. And this is what John Lynch had to say yesterday, quote, "We've got this thing called the draft, and we've got a lot of picks. And I think the thing the fans should know is we have a plan, and we're going to execute that plan, and we're excited about the opportunity." When you hear that, Joe Shasky, does that calm you down at all as a fan, or is that just lip service from the general manager to try to calm everything down, which has been a tumultuous offseason for the fans? Albeit, they brought back Kyle Juszczyk, so that really should, you know, calm everyone down at this point, right?
The Niners. We have a plan. I mean, is it organized chaos? Is that what
Jeff
it is?
Jeff Garcia.
So I look at all the best businesses in the world, sports or not. They have a go-to-market strategy, right? When you go to get a loan and you want to start a business, you have to put together a business plan. Their business plan has shifted and evolved so dramatically, I would argue, I think you're winging it. Like, to me, you're not planning anything. And it's not any one individual move. I could justify in a vacuum all of the decisions within each individual player and how they came to either keep or cut or trade or whatever, each player. But when you look at the totality of it, like, let's go back a couple years. We're going to trade Debo. We're not going to trade Debo. We're going to keep Debo. We're not going to trade Debo. I don't know. It's draft day. I don't know. Should we extend Brandon Ayuk? Maybe. Kinda. Here's our number. We have a number. We're not going to budge. Are we going to trade him on draft day? We don't know. And they go back and forth and back and forth. And then you take a receiver. You take a receiver, number one. It's like, oh, well, next year's the year we're going to be able to go to this guy. And then we've got a plan. We're going to re-sign McCaffrey, which great plan. Mm-hmm. Like that one felt like it had a plan. Yeah, but Trent doesn't have any guaranteed money. But we know, we'll figure that out. But we're going to drag our feet till the very end, even though the year prior, we dragged our feet to the very end with Nick Bosa. And then I look at the entire season and everything that they did that year, and it's like, you know, all of their decisions came home to roost, and their indecisions came home to roost. Like, everybody was off schedule. The Trent never looked right. Brandon Ayuk didn't look right. Debo was just a tick off all year. The quarterback didn't feel comfortable all year. The offensive line never got into sync. CMC was hurt, so I'll give him somewhat of a pass. Hey, we're expecting Dre Greenlaw to be ready to go at some point. We're only going to sign Devondre Campbell for a short period of time. It ended up being almost the whole season.
It was a disaster.
It was a complete disaster. Then you go into this offseason. We're going to get the Brock deal done. We've been telling you for 2 years. He's our quarterback. We're going to get it done. And what's the first thing we heard before the season even ended? Yeah, they're kind of far apart.
Yeah.
What? I thought you had a plan. I thought you were going to prioritize this. I thought you learned from the past, and you told me this was the quarterback. The owner told me we're going to reset the market with this guy, and now you're dragging your feet? I don't know. Anybody can have Brandon Ayuk. You know, we're really ticked that we ended up retaining him. What? You went back and forth 15 times? We're going to get younger. That's what they said. We're going to get younger. Why did you cut your long snapper and sign a 39-year-old long snapper? What?
Gotta have the leadership in there.
Why did you bring back a 34-year-old fullback after cutting him only to take a dead cap hit to re-sign him for almost the same amount of money?
For the vibes.
Okay. Why did you bring in a tight end who's never caught any passes in the league, it feels like, has had no impact, and you gave him $20 million guaranteed and said goodbye to Dre Greenlaw, only to have it come out a day and a half later that actually, at the 25th hour, you try to bring Greenlaw back?
Well, Luke Farrell's a lunch pail guy. You gotta have him. Just hard nose. Gets after
Give him twice what the Denver Broncos gave Dre Greenlaw. And again, each individual decision I could justify, but when you weigh all of these things in totality, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Last year, we're going to fire Steve Wilkes. We're going to bring in the best candidate. We don't really want Vic Fangio. We want to hire Nick Sorensen from our own. Yeah, Vic Fangio went on to win the Super Bowl, and Nick Sorensen was ready to be fired by week five. Okay, let's just call it what it is. All right, so your plan A has not been executed. Your plan tells me you're kind of all over the place. And then B, I want to ask them, what exactly is that plan? Is it to get younger? Is it to get more nimble? Is it to get less expensive? What specifically is it? Because you aren't younger. You brought back a 34-year-old fullback. You brought in a 27-year-old tight end in a deep tight end class where I could get a blocking tight end in the fifth round. See Charlie Warner, okay? You're definitely not going to get less expensive when you're hanging on to certain players on this team and you pay $5 million for a fullback than when there's only 7 or 8 starting fullbacks in the league. Like, I don't know what the plan is. And the Niners should be thanking their lucky stars that the Warriors have been on the run that they're on, because we've been hammering the organization, the owner, Parag Marate, when it comes to the finances, the GM and John Lynch poking holes in all of his drafts, and Kyle Shanahan being all over the place when it comes to player management. And then on top of all of that, the biggest name you bring in is Mac Jones, the guy that you told me all along, no, we didn't want him, but actually we did want him in the draft, but we didn't, but we did, but you tried to trade for him a year ago? I can't even keep up. Don't tell me you have a plan. And then it comes out, and your plan looks like Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the meme, with 1,000 different points and markers all over the place. You look crazy.
Okay. All of that said, Joe Shasky.
Am I wrong?
Well, we'll see if they have a plan or not. Is it too simplistic to say what John Lynch, those were his words, like, there's this thing called the draft, and there's a lot of picks. I know that's not doing anything for you right now because the draft is a wait and see. And we are an instant gratification society.
I love the draft.
And I understand. No, I know you do. It's hard to sell that to a fan base, though, when you have whiffed a lot in the draft in
the
first round.
You've whiffed on 8 third rounders in the last 5 years.
Okay.
8.
Okay. Would you call last year's draft a success overall? The totality of it.
Early on, right now, Dominic Pooney, plug and play starter.
Yes.
That's one.
That's a hit.
Renardo Green, we'll see. Like, I like him. I do. I really like him. Okay. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. Traverse Ward was really good for this team. He's going to replace a really good player.
He was.
You know?
Malik Mustafa.
Malik Mustafa. Again, got hurt multiple times after playing only a short period of time. I like the player. But also, let's also acknowledge, Kyle Shanahan struggles to trust rookies. Okay. That is kind of baked in to the whole Kyle Shanahan experience. I liked their draft last year, but if you're selling me on, man, we found a bunch of starters, you found one starter right now. Now, we'll see what Ricky Pierce saw. It was very promising at the end of the year. But I have the same concerns as everyone else. Can he stay healthy? You know, replacing Deebo Samuel. Like, I know Deebo hasn't been great lately, but Deebo was a touchdown machine. You know, like, he really was. And he was a guy that in a big-time game I knew I could go to war with. Right? Metaphorically. So you could sell me on the draft, and I hear that, but I would also like to have them acknowledge, you know, we've kind of sucked at the draft.
Yeah. Well, I say this, the more we inch closer and closer and the Purdy deal's not done, this draft class is, dare I say, the most important in the entirety of the Lynch Shanahan era. Like, judging where this team is at right now, you have all this money you're going to be allocating to the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of guys locked up, and a lot of guys are getting a little older now. Like, so you need to start doing that refresh button, kind of like the great teams always do, right? The Kansas City Chiefs of the world, the Patriots, like, they nail these picks in the draft. Now, you got to do some free agency, like, hits as well. You're going to have to do that, and you're not really doing that as much this offseason. It's going to be more so what the Rams did, right? You're going to try to do that blueprint of what Les Snead, of what Sean McVay were able to do last year, landing on the Fisks of the Verses of the world, right? The offensive line, I can't name any offensive linemen on the Rams, but they looked a lot, hell of a lot better last season than they did the year prior. So shoring up the trenches, albeit it doesn't sound as sexy when you see the picks come draft time, because it's not a wide receiver, it's not a running back, it's not a tight end. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a great and elite tight end. You have a great and elite running back. So what I saw what the Eagles do last year, Joe Shasky, was dominate both sides of the Dolphs, particularly in that Super Bowl, where they didn't even need to blitz once. Defensive tackle, defensive lineman, offensive lineman, that needs to be the priority.
But right now, you have Nick Bosa, and you literally have a bunch of people that no one's ever heard of.
No one else.
And so you're asking, you're trying to get three impact defensive linemen in this draft? Like that. That's a tall task. We can all acknowledge that. Like that's asking a lot. Only expansion teams find three starters because they have nothing else behind them in one draft. That's asking a lot. I don't know where D. Winters is as an off-ball linebacker to replace Dre Greenlaw. That's a big hole, too. We need a free safety. They probably need a center and a right guard, right tackle. They need a left guard right now. There's a lot of holes on this team. Now, CMC coming back would shore up a lot of people's skepticism.
So there's two questions that I have right now. I want to pick it up on the other side. 888-957-9570. Right now, John Lynch, if you're just joining us, Spadoni and Chasky, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, John Lynch, saying, we have a plan in place. I'm paraphrasing here. What is that plan? And also, what should the plan be? That's what I want to ask Joe Shasky on the other side. I'll ask myself and you, the callers and listeners, 888-957-9570. And that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
This is MSR from San Ramon, and you are listening to Joe Shasky and Spadoni on 95.7 The Game.
Ah, love that. Spadoni, Shasky, we're rolling. Thursday, baby. March Madness. 49ers, they got a plan. Warriors back in action tonight, taking on the Toronto Raptors. Coverage of that right here on 95.7 The Game starts at 6 o'clock. Let me... 6? Yes. Warriors Live, 6 o'clock. Tip-off at 7. By the way, Dave Fleming joining us at 8:30. Joe Shasky, voice of the San Francisco Giants, and also one of the voices for ESPN college basketball season. So I'm sure he has many thoughts on the brackets today, obviously.
Shut up.
I love that drop. He was calling, obviously, the WCC tourney. He called some for Ivy League. And I believe his daughters go to Yale. And I heard him on the call for the semifinal where Yale won, like, on a last-second or last-minute shot. So I'm sure that was a lot of fun for him as well. So Dave Fleming, 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop?
So the way I view sports and when it comes to, like, team building is similar to climbing a mountain, right? And every year,
big rock climbing guy. By the way, you ever done that?
No,
don't have any
I'm
desire
out on that.
Okay,
yeah.
Like heights. No,
I'm out.
Okay,
I'm out.
It's kind of fun.
That.
Like a bonding thing, maybe like on a first date or something.
More
maybe
of a lazy river guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Place where I can just hang.
The plantar fasciitis won't allow you to do the.
It's dangerous. Yeah. And so
you need the right shoes.
But I view it very simple. That's a great point. So you're kind of bringing me right to it. I view each year you're at the bottom of
the summit,
the mountain, if you will, right?
Or
and you're going to have to climb your way to the top.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get as close to the top as you possibly can, and then you got to fall back down every single year. But some teams have more equipment, which make that journey easier, right? Their roster is significantly more comprehensive. Take the Dodgers, for example. The Dodgers versus the Giants, they're starting at the same base of the mountain. The Dodgers have all the fancy equipment that one would need, all of the ration packs.
No, they have the big-ass tent
exactly.
With a fireplace in there, and they're chilling with couches and filet mignon.
Exactly, and they're probably going to get somewhere close to the top of the mountain.
Yes.
Meaning the playoffs, and then probably get somewhere near the NLCS. I don't know if they're going to get all the way to the top and be able to put the flag at the top of the peak, but they've got all of the equipment necessary. Meanwhile, I mean, the Giants, I mean, they've got like a butter knife, you know, and maybe they've got some nice hiking shoes, but they're a long way away.
They got some North Faces.
That doesn't mean that they can't get there, you know, but yeah. We would all argue that their toolbox isn't as comprehensive. Yes. Their survival pack. I look at the 49ers in the last couple of years, it's like their survival pack was equivalent to what the Dodgers have had, right? It gave them a leg up before the season started. That doesn't mean they didn't have to go through the regular season and the same gauntlets, and maybe you drop a few things along that journey of the way. You lose a Hufanga for the year. You lose Dre Greenlaw in the Super Bowl. Like, stuff does happen. But they were knocking at the top of that mountain year after year after year. And now it just feels like, to me, they got kind of knocked all the way back down to the bottom of the mountain, and we're going to get ready on this journey again. And I feel like a lot of the tools that they have are either very dull, meaning the butter knife analogy, or the spike, or whatever you're using to climb, mm-hmm. like a Kyle Juszczyk, or I don't know what their shopping list is to get them the tools required to be able to climb back to the mountain. They kept telling me, hey, we are in this to get to the top, to get to the summit. And we've been knocking and knocking and knocking. And maybe it's just hard for me to grasp that their opportunity to get the top of the summit is just probably not going to be here for a couple of years. Maybe I just need to come to grips with that. But it's tough, given the things that they're doing this offseason, for me to wrap my arms around them actually completing the task.
You using this analogy, would you feel like this time last year the Rams were in a similar boat to the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, but I would say that they've got one of the, like, they've got a hiker, or they've got a climber who's gotten to the summit before, and they've got a leader who's gotten to the top of that summit, and so they kind of have little more, like, wherewithal and know-how.
I mean, Kyle's been there twice, though. I mean, he didn't plant the flag, but he saw the flag. Like, he's gotten close.
But I think having the coach and the quarterback, I mean, that's a pretty good guide. you know? That's a pretty good lead person in any kind of party getting to the top of the mountain. So I'm not saying that, like, I saw the vision with the Rams, but they clearly have something that you don't have, which is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback who has proven it in various situations. Boy, he can really make the most out of dire circumstances around him.
888-957-9570. John Lynch says the 49ers have a plan in place. What is that plan? And also, what should the plan be? That's what I want to ask the fans. Like, if you're John Lynch, put your John Lynch hat on, your Stanford cap, because John Lynch was at Stanford's pro day yesterday. He was chopping up with Andrew Luck, by the way. There's a lot of 49ers fans like, hey, John, can you just try to recruit Andrew Luck a little bit?
I would take Andrew Luck out of football. It's not a knock on Brock, but that's how much I think of Andrew Luck.
Yes.
If Andrew Luck, has he been out 5 years?
I think something like that, which is crazy.
I would take him right now to play on my team.
I was like, how old
that's
is Andrew
That's how highly I always thought of Andrew
Luck. He's 35, yeah. God. That's still one of the careers where we're going to look back. I'm like, man, he ended it too quickly.
Well,
he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Similar to Kaepernick, but very different. The organization around him deteriorated.
Yeah.
And the guy almost lost his life because of a spleen, you know, bursting on the sidelines.
I look at both him, that draft class, him and RG3 were spectacular.
I know.
And their organizations let them down.
Mm-hmm.
And their head coaches and the infrastructure 100%. Around them. It's
a
unfortunate
that Peyton Manning did what he did for as long as he did.
Right.
In that organization.
Well, they lucked out. They literally went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, and they still couldn't they made Andrew Luck retire, which is insane. Like you had literally the blueprint. You just tanked for the entire year. You lost Peyton Manning. You had the neck surgery. And then you got gifted Andrew Luck, and you still couldn't make that guy happy, who literally is the happiest go-lucky quarterback I've ever seen in my life. He literally says good job when he gets sacked, and you couldn't make that guy happy. It's insane. Absolutely. And then they were booing him in a preseason game because he had the wherewithal to, you know, say, I want to protect my health and I'm not happy playing this game anymore. Anyways, I say all that to say this. If I had my John Lynch hat on right now, Joe Shasky, and I said, what should the 49ers plan be? I asked that to you. What should the 49ers do? You tell me what. If you had John Lynch's powers right now, you could talk to Kyle, you could talk to Jed, talk to Parag. The deal's not done yet with Brock. You can still do other things out there if you need to. The draft is in a month.
Yeah,
is there any moves out there to be made? Maybe trade for someone. No, what is it?
The first move that I would make is, all right, guys, here's the number. It's $120 million guaranteed over 3 years. And with the incentives and the ability to make $150, $160, whatever that number is. But it starts at $120 over three.
$40 million guaranteed locked in for Brock Purdy. I throw that in front of the guy. Either take it or leave it. This is our final offer. We're giving you this. If you want to play on next year's number, fine. We have the franchise tag in our back pocket. They've got to get the quarterback thing figured out. They need to know exactly what they're doing with the quarterback. Start there. Okay. And if you can get Brock locked up, which I'm hoping that they can, you don't have the extreme long-term commitments. I think it's a fair deal for all parties involved. You know, you put in the Pro Bowl incentives, you put in the playoff incentives, you put in all those things, right? But you guarantee him over $120 million over 3 years. And I think I'd front load a lot of that if I could. I start there. Let's get the quarterback in play. Because if the quarterback's not in play, your opportunities and your chances and everything, you're playing against the eight ball. Then the next thing is, I gotta break it down with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle, do you want Ayuk on this team?
Mm.
Because we gotta repair this relationship. Do you want him on the team? Because if you don't, then I'm going to move him. If you do, well, then I'm going to do everything I can to wrap both my arms around him during the rehab process and let him know that, like, we love him and we need him. Because I think all of this leaking and this talking and all that stuff, that goes a long way in the locker room. All these other guys have watched what you've done this offseason, all right, with the indecisions and the back and forth. And, you know, you cleared out Tabor Pepper. You cleared out Deebo Samuel. You wanted Drake Greenlaw, but you didn't want Drake Greenlaw. I think you need to make sure that you shore up this Ayuk thing one way or the other. And that's where I would go to Kyle. Kyle, do you want him or do you not want him? Because if you want him, then we need to stop talking bad about him because he's making a lot of money and we're going to need him. And it makes my draft a lot easier because I know, all right, I got the two receivers in Jennings and in Pearsall, and I got Ayuk coming back into the fold. Wide receiver's not an issue for me to draft this year, you know? And then the third thing, it's pretty straightforward to me. How can we get you someone who can be a difference maker and help you in day one? Day one, I need to find, whether it's, if he says it's D tackle, all right then. My first two picks, one of them's got to be a D tackle. If it's D end, one of my first two picks has to be D end. If it's outside linebacker, okay, one of my two picks needs to be outside linebacker. You have got to set up Robert Saleh for success and help this defense. That's my three-pronged approach.
888-957-9570. John Lynch says the 49ers have a plan. What should their plan be? I want to hear from the fans on what they think the 49ers should be doing in these next couple of months. 888-957-9570. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. We're going to pick this up on the other side. Plus, coming up around 7:20-ish, we're going to be doing a new segment. You've heard of ChatGPT? Well, we're going to go to YouTube. Yes, we're going to the infamous YouTube chat here at 95.7 The Game.
Yay!
We're going to be calling it ChatTMR. TMR, the morning roast. We're going to be doing that around 7:20, so just be listening, YouTube chat. It's going to be your time to shine, and that's coming up next, brought to you by Ceramani Ford.
Sponsored by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today, or donate online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's cars with a K.
Hey, it's Spadoni, and I'm excited to announce that the Oakland Roots... Yeah, the Roots, they have their home opener this Saturday, March 22nd, against San Antonio FC. And you know what's going to be played? The Oakland Coliseum. That's right. Sports are back at the Coli, baby. We've had football, we've had baseball, but now soccer gets to be played in the iconic Oakland Coliseum. I can't wait. I'm going to be going. I'm going to be taking my kids there. If you're going to be going, come say what's up. Come shout me out. I'll shout you out. And come show your Oakland pride. And I can't wait to be sitting in the stands with my kids. We're going to have some popcorn. We're going to have some cotton candy, whatever they got going on over there. We're going to just be chanting, "Let's go, Oakland." And that's going to feel so good to say. I've lived in Oakland the last decade plus. My kids were born there. They are Oakland out. And I want to see you there celebrating Oakland and the Roots. Go to OaklandRootsSC.com to get your tickets today. Also, you can catch the game on KTVU Plus or ESPN Plus.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Patiently waiting?
It's really dramatic.
You don't know this one?
This is very dramatic.
I'll give it to you. I've been patiently waiting for a track to explode on. And my tracks have been so long. I don't even know how it goes.
Who is this?
This is 50 and Eminem.
Oh, there you go.
It's not a 50 Cent. It's a seamstress.
It's not a 50 Cent Friday.
My pain. Eminem destroys this one.
Oh, this must have been early 2000s.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So there you go.
Hey, 50. Hey, I'll tell you. Get Rich or Die Trying.
All-time album.
Like 11 bangers.
It might be. No, it's up there for one of the greatest albums in, like, coming into a music scene of all time is 50 Cent. Like,
many men.
Yeah.
Wish death upon me.
Oh, stay so there.
They're calling that the JFK song.
Oh, my God. Well. Well, they didn't wish it. They succeeded.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler alert.
Is it too soon? Too soon to bust that one
well,
out?
Just, well,
my algorithm on social media is all JFK stuff.
Sounds mind-blowing.
Then that was too far.
I was going to do the read here, but I don't think the sponsor wants me to do the read after a JFK joke, so I'll let that breathe for a little bit. I'd just say good morning to all of you. Just getting off work, getting ready for school, the weekend. We've been talking about plans this morning. If you got any weekend plans, it's great. An extended weekend. I don't know. It's Thursday, but maybe people take Friday off. I know John Lynch is working very hard. He has a plan in place, Joe Shasky, for the 49ers. I don't know what the plan is other than, you know, get the quarterback signed and nail the draft.
What was the plan the last couple years?
The plan was
keep the band together,
yes,
roll it back,
yes,
maybe make a couple subtle moves to add to it.
He used the term push their chips all in last year.
So okay.
And they crapped out.
Okay. So then what are they doing this year?
Trimming the fat. They're getting rid of some of the bloated contracts they can't afford anymore. He mentioned Leonard Floyd's of the world, the Malik Collins of the world.
Then why would you cut the fullback, take the $4 million dead cap hit, and then sign him to a $4 million deal over 2 years, meaning $8 million over two?
Well, I mean, the dead cap hit, it all ends up just being money spent on the fullback anyways. That's how I look at it.
But it was a wasted exercise.
Well,
why are you spending $20 million? If you're trimming the fat, why are you spending $20 million on a blocking tight end?
Well, it's the vibes, Joe Shasky. He's very important to the locker room and the blocking scheme.
Who's more important, vibe-wise, Dre Greenlaw making $12 million guaranteed over 3 years for the Denver Broncos, or a backup tight end who may or may not see the field because you brought back the fullback?
I guess there's injury concerns, though. There's not injury concerns with Luke Farrell. There's injury concerns with Dre Greenlaw.
Oh, yeah, of course there's no injury concerns with Luke Farrell. He doesn't play.
Well, he does.
He's a backup tight end.
He does. He's got
like 12 catches in his career.
You know what? He's a blocking tight end.
But you could see where, like, a fan...
He's taking over for the Charlie Warners of the world, Joe Shasky. What do you want? Like, okay, this is a blocking team. Like, they're going to run first, so...
But when you tell me year after year, we're all in, it is hard to digest that we're taking a step back.
Well, you mentioned the fullback. Kyle Juszczyk talked about his decision to return to the San Francisco 49ers, sound courtesy of Sirius XM Radio.
No, I had discussions with them throughout the offseason that, you know, maybe it was a possibility that I was going to have to take a pay cut or we're going to have to rework some things in my contract. But it was never anything definite. It was just something that they put on my radar, something that, you know, I needed to be prepared for. And just as things went on, I you know, just the optimist in me started telling myself that, man, I don't think we're going to have to do this. You know, it's getting close to the actual free agency period. Haven't heard too much. You know, things are kind of looking good. But then, you know, they finally... Finally, a couple days before that, we're like, yeah, you know, this is a real thing. The financial restrictions we're under are a real thing. And, you know, they kind of put it in my court whether, you know, I wanted to be released or if we wanted to continue to try and negotiate a pay cut. But I think, like anybody, it's good to see what your market is. And so they gave me the opportunity to do that. And so me and my agent, you know, went to work. You know, we had some interested teams and, you know, we explored those possibilities because I feel like that's just fair to me and my family. You know, you got to explore those possibilities, even if it's something that deep down maybe you don't want to do. You know, we looked into it, and just to put it in the simplest terms, at the end of the day, it was too much to leave home. I wanted to be a Niner, and we were able to get to a number that I was comfortable with, and then, you know, we were able to make the deal, and I couldn't be happier, and I'm trying not to look back at all. Like, I'm just happy to be there and know I'm locked in for two more years.
Kyle Juszczyk on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Joe Shasky. He said, you know, there's some nibblers out there, maybe. And
there are 8 teams that use the fullback in the league right now.
8? That many?
Yeah, they have. I'm actually shocked. No, I'm legitimately
not even being sarcastic. I'm shocked it's that many.
I mean,
because it feels like when I watch a game, there's maybe like 2.
I would agree with
3.
You.
There's Alec Ingold, Patrick Ricard, and Kyle Juszczyk. That's literally all I can think of.
That's what most people can do. And so, like, look, Kyle's a solid player, but the reality is that I think he represents stunted growth, meaning we were all expecting them, oh, wow, we're going to evolve a little on offense. He's going to go 2 tight end sets and be more of a threat. Like, Kyle Juszczyk, he's not a breakaway guy. I mean, what's he got, like 8, 9 touchdowns in his Niner career over 9 years?
That's it.
And they felt very force-fed over the entire period of the time. I bet it's no more than 12. How many is it?
Let's see. I'm pulling it up right now. Kyle Juszczyk, San Francisco 49ers fullback. In his career, I'm pulling up his stats right now. Okay. Starting with the 49ers, he had 2 touchdowns in 2020, 21, 1, 2, 4, 6 in his career? Is that right? 6 touchdowns in his career? 1 with Baltimore? That can't be right. That's rushing. Okay, there we go. All right. 18. In total,
of receiving, his whole career.
Of his whole career. So 24 in total, rushing and receiving. He's had at least a touchdown a year receiving for the 49ers. At least.
I guess where I'm going.
2020, he had 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess where I'm going with this is what's what he signifies, which is like, you're just going to run it back, the same thing that didn't really work that well last year. He's not a threat. He's just not. I like the guy. He's a good guy, and I get why they use him, but it represents that the offense is going to look almost identical, and we're not going to get 3 wide receiver sets. We're not going to get more of those 2 tight end sets. So why did you bring in this backup tight end? It's baffling. And then obviously there's the Jordan Mason move, which we haven't even discussed today, which was kind of like a swap of late round picks. They didn't want to pay him. They had put a second round, you know, tender on him,
yeah.
But he's not worth a second round. I mean, he couldn't stay healthy. I've always been a big Jordan Mason fan. He had his opportunity this year.
He was unbelievable in the first few games of the season. We were literally talking about him, Saquon Barkley, and Derrick Henry.
But going back to the running back market, you're not going to net much on it. And you're definitely not going to net much on a guy who got 5 or 6 starts this year and got hurt. You know, like that, it is what it is. I'm not losing sleep over the Jordan Mason thing, though I like the player, but I understand that move. But in a vacuum, you know, that makes sense. When you step back and you look at all these other moves, it's like, man, moving forward, I'd probably rather have Jordan Mason than Kyle Juszczyk.
Well, it's a good point you bring up right now, and I keep going back and forth on this as we're talking about the plans for the San Francisco 49ers. 888-957-9570. John Lynch spoke with Matt Barrows yesterday of The Athletic. And was saying, yeah, we have a plan in place. Don't worry, Niners fans. We have a lot of draft picks. We're going to be using them. We got to pay the quarterback. We had to trim some fat this offseason, and we'll be back. That was his. He says we have a plan. And then I'm asking the fan base right now, what should the plan be? And by the way, coming up in about, 15 minutes or so, about 20 minutes, I should say, we're going to have Chat TMR. It's a new segment we're doing. So if you're in the YouTube chat, you know what? Stay ready. All right. And if you're not in the YouTube chat, go ahead and hop in there around 7:20, because we're going to be going to you guys for a new game called Chat TMR. You're going to want to be listening for the next 20 minutes for more on that. By the way, Dave Fleming, 8:30. I say all that to say this. I've been going back and forth, Joe Shasky, on this, the future of this team right now coming down to one player. And it scares the hell out of me that like we're kind of doubling down on all of this as you move on from Jordan Mason. There's so much riding on Christian McCaffrey's health next year.
It's not even funny.
That scares the hell out of me.
Out of everyone.
Isaac Garendo's the backup right now. Like, is that? Do you feel good about that?
Another guy who had flashes and got hurt multiple times.
Exactly. So, like, there's part of me that says, like, what I'm about to say might sound outrageous, but I keep coming back to it. Like, if the kid from Boise State, Ashton Gentry, starts falling, you're there 11, like...
I just don't think it's a luxury they can take.
No, but I strongly consider it.
No, I hear you.
I strongly consider that because there's a good chance that Christian McCaffrey, maybe he is damaged goods at this point.
But Joe, I would say to you this. Defense and O-line are such holes. I don't think they can afford to take any other position but those. Look, I love skill position maybe guys. I love them.
Maybe trade McCaffrey on draft day. Does that sound insane?
Yes.
Does that sound insane?
Yeah.
What if you get like a third round pick for him?
Who's trading for a guy who played, three games last year?
Maybe a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm just throwing a team out there.
He's got the third highest, salary for next year of running backs. Look, I do think they're going to draft another running back. I don't know when. It'll probably be the Shanahan special, third, fourth, fifth round, right? And that guy could either be amazing or awful and cut before the season even started. But they have... Joe, who is on their defensive line right now?
There's Nick Bosa and them boys. That's what it is.
Okawanu?
Yeah, he was a fun story, but that was it. They got Malik Collins gone, Leonard Floyd gone, Javon Hargrave gone. Drake Jackson, he's still there, right? He didn't play last year, but...
He played for 2 years.
I mean, is he still there?
He literally hasn't played for 2 years.
He had the Pittsburgh game where he had three sacks.
For 2 years.
And then...
So
are they baking up? I'm laughing, but I'm also like kind of serious. Like, that's a guy that was one of your high draft picks. Like, no, he has to be able to produce this year. Like, that's another whiff for them. By the way, this segment brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Like, yeah, they don't have anyone, and they're going to need bodies to step up here. So, yeah, again, I hear you and I'm with you. The offensive and defensive line, I know they're not going to draft an offensive lineman in the first round. We've heard from Kyle Shanahan. They're just not going to do that. So if I had to bet, it's definitely defensive tackle or defensive end in the first round. I'm just saying if Genty falls, I'm strongly considering it because I am a run heavy first. My first thing I do is run heavy in this offense. And I just don't trust the running back that's healthy right now. He's just not. I don't trust Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy. If that's what I'm baking the season on, that scares the hell out of me. Like, I understand what the Rams did last...
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.